Chapter 62. The travellers hitched their packs and hiked hurriedly through the final valley. Joshua struggled to keep up, but he was as eager as the rest. They didn't speak again until they stood panting at the feet of the great structures. Monoliths, five of them.
I don't believe it, Maggie said.
Wow, Joshua said. Also, there's a guy over there in a monkey suit throwing a bone in the air.
Shut up, Valiente.
Sorry, Captain.
Indra said, They bear some kind of inscription. I recognize the formation. I suspect we all do, Lobsang said wryly.
Mars? Maggie asked.
Yes, said Indra. This seems to be precisely the same configuration that Willis Lindsay and his party encountered on the Long Mars.
Maggie was tentatively touching a monolith with her bare hand. The face was covered with symbols, like runes, perhaps, each element of which was the size of a human head. The inscribing was clean, sharp, as if made by a laser, and seemed not to have been eroded by time.
These stones are big, Maggie said. And there are a lot of symbols. A lot of information, right?
Just as on the Martian versions, Lobsang said, distracted. I'm comparing this with the images Lindsay brought back. The symbols look similar, the same alphabet, but the message appears different.
Nobody knows what the Martian monoliths have to say, Maggie said. In spite of a quarter century of study, right?
Lobsang murmured. Willis Lindsay believed he made some progress.
You don't say, Maggie said, faintly mocking.
Perhaps what we are seeing are elements of a key. If we put this together with the Martian inscription, and after much further study...
But a key to what, Lobsang?
Lobsang just smiled.
We'll know when we have it, I suppose.
Joshua was trying to get his head around the paradox of the monoliths.
Willis and Sally travelled stepwise into the Long Mars, and that was a Mars not accessed from datum Earth, but from the gap, far from the datum across the Long Earth. Meanwhile, here we are, having stepped our way into the center of the galaxy, and we find a copy of what they found.
My head's exploding too, Maggie said.
And if anybody tells me it's because I'm trying to imagine a five-dimensional space with my three-dimensional brain, they're on a charge.
But I think that about sums it up, Maggie,
Lobsang said, smiling. This is life in the skein. All these long worlds tangled up together. We're going to have to get used to a universe which isn't simply connected.
He means that in a precise mathematical sense, Indra said quietly.
Thanks, said Maggie wryly. Well, at least this monument to nothing will give us some shade for lunch.
She opened her pack, sat on the ground at the foot of a monolith, and pulled out plastic boxes.
We got Navy-issue field rations, sandwiches, chicken paste, tuna paste, or paste.
Lobsang began to open his own pack.
Maybe we can save such delicacies for later. I also brought along a treat. Joshua, maybe you could lend a hand. We won't need to build a fire. I have a small camping stove.
Joshua saw that Lobsang had brought frozen oysters and bacon and even Worcester sauce.
Oysters, Kilpatrick, he said with a grin.
It seemed appropriate, Lobsang said, in honour of an absent friend.
All we need is a bunch of sunbathing dinosaurs, and it could be 40 years ago.
There was a radio crackle.
Captain Kaufman, Belaniuk, come in, Captain, do you copy?
Maggie puffed out her cheeks.
Hold that thought, Mr. Valiente.
She tapped a button on her pack. We're here, Dev. Go ahead.
Thanks, Admiral, Dev said. You'd better get back here, ma'am. We don't know how come they showed up like this. Maybe one traverser calls to another in this big ocean of theirs. Maybe we were recognized somehow, or at least you were, or Joshua. I don't know. Anyhow, it's here. They're here.
And Lobsang and Joshua looked at each other.
I guess the oysters are going to have to wait, Maggie said with regret.